Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So we have a new twist on some of America's oldest music.
Hear me cry, baby, won't you let me in? Hear me cry, baby, let your poor boy in. I'm by, baby, about where you been? No, I ain't, honey.
This Front Porch Blues has a front man who might surprise you, the young Korean-American poet Nat Myers. His debut album is out now, and it's called Yellow Peril. Nat Myers, welcome to Here and Now. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you too, Scott. Thanks for having me, man.
You have described yourself as a young Asian cat playing old black music. Tell us briefly about your background and how it took you to old-time blues.
Yeah, man, well, I guess I'm just kind of a low-down fella sort of generally, and so the music that's always attracted me, especially in terms of wanting to play, was just, you know, old country blues. It's just kind of only been the thing I wanted to play. I come from a lot of big different backgrounds. You know, I very much was a child of my environment growing up in Northern Kentucky. I listened to a lot of like pop punk music, hardcore, mm-hmm. you know, grindcore, things like that. But I think like when it comes to playing, especially the music I love to listen to, it kind of comes from a different sort of reservoir inside myself, where the blues kind of is very closely aligned to poetry with me, which has kind of always been my first love. And that's mm-hmm. sort of what kind of spawned me into wanting to perform, where I think poetry is just like, you know, it's very, very valuable, I think, on the page. And then the traditional kind of boundaries of the poetry world is. But I think mm-hmm. what's going on right now, especially with kind of talking about the Melvillian epic catalog of America, you know, I think being able to get out there and perform music is just as close to that image, I guess.
Your mother's Korean, married yep. an American GI, and they moved to Kentucky. And both, I gather, had hard lives with generational trauma. And you have said that they shared a lust for life combined with some unresolved sadness. And I feel like I hear that lust for life as you describe it in, for instance, Ramble No More.
When you come out and go walking down along the rivers, oh, I will prove I love you, I ain't gonna rain no more.
So as you listen to that, I want to ask you, is that deep yearning and seeking you see in your parents and yourself at the center of the blues?
I think my parents are very wide and full of birth people. And particularly when my mom's story kind of strikes very deeply to me, you know, it takes a lot for somebody to give up roots and travel thousands of miles across the sea to a place where you've never been to. I kind of joke to myself, you know, of all places, I don't think coming to like Kentucky, Indiana, or, you know, over in Kansas was like my mama's like image of what, I don't know how to put it. But, you know, and I think my dad as well grew up in a time where draft was still active and that was gun form. And he just thought the best thing to do was just, you know, bite the bullet and jump on in. And he wound up become fluent in Korean, talking on the 38th, you know, listening to North Korean artillery pieces on the 38th parallel. You know, I think it's...
Oh, that was his job. He was kind of a language expert. So he was doing some audio surveillance.
I'm kind of disconnected from my Korean heritage in so far as I don't really speak no Korean, and I've never been to Korea. But you know, there's a Korean community over here in North Kentucky, and you know, my mom's always been an active part of it, so I've always been at least parallel with that heritage. And I think, you know, there is something to be said about generational trauma, at least on my mom's side. You know, I think it goes for a lot of Korean folks. There's a wide scar just running straight through that country, and a lot of people died. And I think it's also a strange dynamic where you got a lot of folks who have been displaced by these kind of larger geopolitical conversations. I'm getting kind of highfalutin right now, but yeah, you know, displaced by these larger geopolitical issues, perhaps have to go to, you know, the places that partially exacerbated those situations as well. And, any kind of immigrant story, and then kind of coming here and then dealing, and I think not really being aware of the deeper historical kind of tensions that exist in America, and how sort of the first generation or the first folks who's born here kind of exist in this strange sort of liminal space between everything. I think there's something to be said about, you know, being able to share an experience, feeling like not belonging. And like I said, I think my own yearning for the blues, all kind of conceptual things aside, just kind of comes from a deep sense of like, I really need this stuff to keep myself kind of going day to day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you take your own family background, that of your parents, you combine it with your love for poetry, and you study some of the classics with this, you know, classic blues music. But you just mentioned the tensions of our time, which brings us to the title track of your album. It's called Yellow Peril.
Yellow peril, yellow peril, yellow peril, man. Yellow peril, yellow peril, yellow peril, man.
Why did you write Yellow Peril?
I wrote it because, just like a lot of Asian folks, before this pandemic really got started, once you started getting kind of the larger wind of things, it's like, this weren't going to be real good for nobody who looks like me. And it made me scared, man. You know, it's just like, I don't want to be, you know,
the virus comes to America and everyone who is Asian or looks Asian suddenly starts getting attacked, physical and otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a trickle down, especially when you got, like, you know, demagogues kind of being able to whip that stuff up, and it trickles down, you know, to the reasonable, to the unreasonable. And I think it's just, I look at the old blues and the Delta blues and the country blues that I really love and I love listening to as this narrative form, as this opportunity to be able to communicate what I'm feeling in maybe a deeper context than just kind of like preaching, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've got your guitar with you, and I wonder if you preach and play a little bit for us.
Yeah, man. One sec. I need to find something to slide on real quick. Okay, I got a little medicine bottle here. This might work. While I'm doing it, I guess I'll explain a little bit about the song. It was very much inspired by my love of Charlie Patton's Bow Weevil Blues. This really beautiful slide piece that Charlie Patton released in part to commemorate the cotton blight that happened down in the South, caused by the boll weevil. There's been a lot of boll weevil blues. Woody Guthrie's got another absolutely killer one. Ma Rainey's got really famous boll weevil blues too. It's kind of this almost, this trickster sort of narrative where you have the kind of the narrator, the speaker of the song, going from place to place and finding the boll weevil there. It's a really simple concept, but the way he tells it and the way he sings it and the way the kind of strings jaunt and the way it kicks up is just, it's just so entertaining. Like, when you get in that time, you know, how can you talk about something that people are still really close to in a way that don't, you know, don't get them walking out the room, I guess. And so I think telling it in this kind of humorous way, you know, it's just like a comedian's act. My inspiration for Yellow Peril just kind of came with the concept of, you know, this virus thing that was kind of going around. And this is kind of my experience as somebody who's grown up in Kentucky, who looks like me, who feels like I'm part of this conversation, especially when it comes to people who look like me. You know, the last lines where we're kind of like, where we're talking about here, maybe I'll play it for you just a little bit.
Everywhere I've been, somebody been a beautiful day. With none of the wind, some of up on the moon. Oh yeah, yeah, you know it ain't that much. Don't wanna have a little fun before we die. No day between you and I. Yellow Peru, yellow Peru, yellow Peru, man.
So something my dad's got.
That was beautiful, though. Thank you for that. When people listen to your music, specifically Yellow Peril, what do you want them to be asking? What do you want them to be feeling?
You know, one, I hope they think it sounds good, but I think in a deeper sense, you know, if they're kind of looking for the actual lyrics, if they're actually trying to look at the content of this, I just hope, if I'm not saying enough, you know, I'm looking forward to people who can make better. And in terms of blues, I'm really hoping that they can, you know, in a deeper sense, look at the tradition of music I love and I love playing, that they maybe can look at it and kind of see it in the same light I do, which is some of the hippest stuff that's going on right now.
We've been talking to Nat Myers about his new album, Yellow Peril. Nat, congratulations on this coming out, and thank you very much for joining us.
Yo, Scott, man, I appreciate the time.
Hey, hey!